Feel free to grab coffee and snack and anything else. Try to make this short and hopefully sweet, like me. Sweet, you know.
Yes, you're sweet.
Yeah, I'm just a sweet. Yeah. Yeah, right. Singing through that song after Don had mentioned the grace and the ocean and all that sort of thing. That line about my heart turns violently inside of my chest, yeah. I relate to that on so many levels. Just sleepless nights, throughout from childhood all the way up. And I've spent some time lately with Pastor Don talking and having the back and forth texting discussions, shall we say, and having this where he shares a scripture verse and I share one to contradict and vice versa and back and forth, and just this fighting and wrestling going on, and the stuff that happens. And that song, Surrender, that means a lot too. And sometimes when we sing it, I used to joke with Tammy about, I surrender most to you, or I surrender some to you, or I surrender a little bit, you know, singing to the Lord. That's how, and sometimes that's really, I know it's my attitude, but do we all relate to that at times? You know, I surrender some to you. I surrender to you, yeah, but not really. So, just going to read this to you real quick. At the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, the Great War, which would come to be called World War I, had, after four devastatingly bloody long years, had finally come to an end. The fighting had been so fierce and had introduced some of the most horrendous ways man had ever devised to kill each other up until that time. It was the hope of the civilized world that it would be the war to end all wars. Right. But we know that the peace the combatants had more or less agreed upon was to be short-lived. World War I ended, not with a surrender of one side to the other, but with an agreement to cease all hostilities. While some nations still observe the end of that war, Armistice Day, others observe Remembrance Day, while we in the United States celebrate Veterans Day, acknowledging those who have served in the U.S. Armed Forces. The red poppy is still used and symbolizes the blood shed during battle. It's said that following the Napoleonic Wars of the early 1800s, upon the barren landscape of the battlefields, that blood-red poppies began to grow around the bodies of the fallen soldiers. If you remember last year on Armistice Day, on Remembrance Day, the poppies that on the 100th anniversary of the signing of the armistice of this, what would lead to the treaty.
Right here.
I remember seeing those. Yeah, I remember seeing those when I was a kid, and I never really understood what it meant. You know, we'd always go, and my dad would always give to the Salvation Army, to the AMVETS, and we'd go to the AMVETS store. You know, the veteran, the what Tammy calls the hinky dinks, little antique secondhand stores. And I remember going to the mall or the store and seeing the men there who at that time had served in World War II or Korea. And as a small child, there may have been those that served during World War I. But I remember not having even the faintest idea as a boy of 6, 8, 9, not knowing what it meant and the magnitude and this idea of surrender, that these sides did not surrender, but they came to an agreement. And there's an agreement that the Lord has laid out for us. But we do have to surrender. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete." We walk in the flesh, but we don't. We shouldn't. We should not wage war in the flesh. In our culture, it is so easy to do that. Not to fight with weapons, but with words, with the weapons that are our words. We do not wage war. We should not wage war according to the flesh. I should not wage war according to the flesh. The weapons that God has given us, it says, they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. How many times have I seen my own heart as a wrapped around this fortress to try to guard it from God and from others, to protect this thing? Now, yeah, we do guard our heart, but that's a different kind of guarding our heart. After we come to the Lord, we have to guard our heart. But before that time, how are we guarding it? We come to Him, and the fortresses between us, within our own hearts, come down. We are destroying speculations. I remember when I was younger, and maybe some of you have played this game where you wonder and you think about and you talk about, you know, life beyond, life on other planets and different things, and, you know, what does God do? Does God save this group or that group, or just different things that go beyond what the Word tells us? And Paul is saying to the Corinthians, you know, these were people that used to meet, you know, it was common within their culture to meet in the square and to discuss ideas and to speculate about the gods and what they thought and what they were doing and all those kinds of things. And Paul is saying, don't give in. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. There is so much wisdom in our world today. All we need to do is look online and see this great wisdom that may contradict what God's word tells us.
More like knowledge than
wisdom. Yeah. Tammy and I were watching yesterday, started watching this. You know, I love documentaries. And we started watching one that was produced by PBS. And it was about space and multiverse. And it was a really interesting topic. And the more he talked, Tammy said, "This just shows more and more evidence of God." Because the more we learn, the more we know, you've said it, I've heard it, the more we think we know, the less we know. And I think Doctor of Physics might agree on that. You know, the more that we discover as human beings, the less we know. God is infinite. His creation is infinite. Like we talked about it a couple of weeks ago when I mentioned about the DNA and how we are knit together, that those, the double helix, how it comes together from the mother and the father, and we are knit together in our mother's womb. That is miraculous. And what he was talking about, what the gentleman in the documentary was talking about, was the odds of us being here on this planet and that life exists, that quote unquote intelligent life exists. So we don't wage war in the flesh. We ought not wage war in the flesh. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We've looked at that verse for several weeks now. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago while Don was gone. He mentioned it again last week. And it fits today because the weapons, we don't wage war like the world does. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not carnal. And we come, and he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Have we been carrying around the weapons of the flesh? Mm-hmm. Right? That's a burden we've not been called to bear. We haven't been called to carry that kind of a burden, to say, you know, to fight with each other. "I will give you rest. My heart turns violently inside of my chest. I need rest." We watched a comedian last night, and Tammy just burst out laughing like I haven't heard her laugh in a long time. And the man was talking about, he said that, you know, ADD and all of that, which I have. He said, "Look, it's just, you know, I just have this active mind. I'm just thinking all the time and I can't stop. It's like, all right, you know, I decide, you know, I can't sleep when I'm sober." And he said, "Well, I decided to change things up a little bit, and I had a meeting in the morning. And so I thought, all right, I'm going to be good. I'm going to go to bed early, and I'm going to go to bed sober." He said he laid down, and he was very good about it. He put his head like this, you know, he put his hands together, and he put his little head on the pillow, and he just kind of tried, "Okay, I'm going to go to sleep now. And I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep. And oh, did I feed the dog? Oh, we didn't start the fire." And he said, all these things just start racing through his brain. And it's like, all right, it's 1:30. You know, and then here comes the chorus again. "We didn't start the fire, but the, you know." And now it's 3:30. Now it's, "Come and I will give you rest." That doesn't mean that my mind doesn't race like that at times. Some of us can attest to that. We can agree. But we come to him, and even in those times, we say, "Lord, help me to focus. What is going on inside of this brain of mine do you want me to think on?" Yeah. Whatever is good, whatever is true, helpful, inspirational, necessary, kind, think on those things. Mm-hmm. There's other stuff it's speculation. Don't think about it. When I was a kid, I used to speculate a lot about what was going to happen in the morning when I went to school. Because there were times at about the age of 9 when I became terrified to go to school because I didn't know what was going to happen. I had been a runt. If you see pictures of me when I was a little boy, I was a runt. Okay? And was terrified. And so I'd lay my head down at night and I could not sleep because I was terrified of what was going to happen the next day. And over time, I began to develop the fortress. And I began to pull away from people. And then I began to become part of what my dad's side of the family, very sarcastic. And in the vein, you know, the cut downs, kind of like, you know, in the 80s, 90s, the yo mama joke kind of thing. And so I began to joke. I was sarcastic. And there were times when it was mean. And that word sarcastic comes from what? Sarcophagus, which is where a dead body is held, which is the flesh. And so I think about that a lot of times when I am being sarcastic, that is this coming out of a place of a sarcophagus? Is it coming out of a place where the dead body is held? Is this coming from the flesh? And too often it's too late. You know, I see the filter right there and I just go, filter be damned. I'm going to put this out there, you know. And then I sing this little song in my head. Trolling, trolling, trolling. But that's a place from the flesh, the sarcasm. Lay these burdens down. Lay this stuff down. Take my yoke. And we've looked at that again for the last several weeks. Take my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And we are beings. This word, this double meaning of light and light, the light and light as in weight. We're to carry the light. We are the light of the world. So it's a light burden as far as how much it weighs and the difficulty. And it's a light burden that drives away darkness. That's a little bit of addition too, but it kind of fits. So we lay down our arms. We lay down the things that we've been burdened with that we are not to be burdened with. Each one bears his own load, yet we bear one another's burdens. We lay down these burdens that we ought not to carry, that we weren't meant to carry. Isaiah chapter 2. This is along the same lines as laying down our arms. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "And many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths.' For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war." And you know that these verses must be important because they're mentioned again. Micah chapter 4, verse 3 says, "And he will judge," if we have any doubt, it's God Almighty, "and he will judge between many peoples and render decisions for mighty distant nations. Then they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war." Why do the nations rage? Why do we fight? Why do we quarrel? Not us here, you know, sometimes, you know, Horace and I have, in the distant past, some almost 20 years now, had some issues that we spent some time working through, talking, sometimes over a beer or two, sometimes with a lot of shed tears, mm-hmm. at least on my side. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it got so difficult that one of us actually locked themselves in the bathroom, and Don and Sue had to come over and talk to that person. But we shouldn't train for war. The nations rage right now. We see a lot of unrest here and around this world. Constant, continually. Nation rising up against nation, fighting. Remember, there's no longer any male, female, Jew, Greek, slave, Scythian. You know, none of that. We're all one in Christ. Not everybody's in Christ. And sometimes I'm not. You know, we can be in Christ, but not in Christ. We can be, we are saved, we are being saved, we will be saved. We are holy, we are being made holy, we will be holy. We are healed, we are being healed, we will be healed. All of those things, the now and the not yet. The now and the not yet. Surrender. Instead of, when it talks about the sword being turned into plowshares, I think of a pen can be used, right? A pen can be used to write down a lot of mean, nasty things. Or it can be used to write down a lot of healing. Our keyboard that the computer or on the phone can be used to write down, to put down a lot of mean things or healing. Turn that sword into a plowshare to dig up in the fallow ground. No, we're going to go there. Never mind. I won't bring that up yet. I'm just going to read through this. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. You know, and I mean, the whole book is fantastic from Genesis to Revelation. And you can pick, you know, several parts. And I always say, oh, this is my favorite chapter. Or these are my favorite verses. Or this is my favorite, you know. Right. But this really is, okay? James is got to be in my top 66 of the books of the Bible. Okay? It's the top 66. Somewhere in there. And the New Testament, it's probably like the top, was it 27? Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, but James chapter 4. And we all know the backstory, right, about James. He was the Lord's brother. You know, he was like, you think about it, being Jesus's brother, you know, how can you be, you know, he always cleans his room. He always finishes his vegetables. He never mouths off to mom and dad. Just thinking, you know. But maybe he was just a kid. Yeah. You know? I don't know. But anyway, James comes out in chapter 4 and he says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members, in our flesh? Mm-hmm. You lust and do not have. So you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Lord, just let me win the lottery. Let me get that raise. You know, if I had a job that just paid, you know, oh, let's just, you know, $6,000 a month. You know, like cutting grass, I would just do that forever. You know, making deals. Yeah. You ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. Who are you? Is that the doorbell?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's time for recess.
All right, and then everybody will grab a cookie and some juice and get our mat and sit down and lay down. Anyway, he jealously desires the Spirit. He is jealous for me, like we sang. He gives a greater grace. So we fight, we may quarrel. We want what we want, and we steal, or we connive, or we cheat, or whatever it is to get what we want. I know we don't. I'm just saying, like the royal we, like humanity, people, just, you know, out there, those people, and me, not any of you. I mean, Tammy doesn't, not at all. If it weren't for Tammy, I would be a pile of ashes somewhere. True, probably, right? Yeah, anyway. Shh, stop. He gives a greater grace. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Lay down our arms. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. We humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift us up. We come to this place where we just lay down our heavy load. We lay down that burden. We lay down our arms. We give up fighting. And we say, Lord, whatever you want. And that's going to bring about sometimes some feelings of misery. Why would anybody want to be a believer in Jesus Christ? Why would anybody want to be a disciple? To be miserable and mourn and weep. To let our laughter be turned into mourning and our joy to gloom. Remember Jesus. He told us we take up our cross and follow him. We're to die daily. And remember a couple weeks ago, a month ago or so maybe now, about the just... I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. To say if we've been crucified with Christ, we can't bat him away. We can't move him. We can't run away. We can't fight back. Our heart is exposed. We are exposed to him, that he can do that work. I want to keep one hand free so I can push him away. Lay down your arms. Give up. Lay down your arms. Give up. Just be crucified. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Again, from Micah, just thinking about that. You know, do what's right. Be merciful. And walk humbly with God. That's what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. We're getting close to the end here. So we come to him. We realize that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. We come to him and we lay down our arms and we surrender. In Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6. This is probably a life verse for many of you. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust. Totally reliant upon him. Trust him. He is true. He's pure. Goodness of heart. He doesn't have anything in store for us that is bad, that is evil, that is wicked. He's not going to try to trick us. Remember the parable that Jesus talked about with the stone and the bread? You know, that a good father isn't going to say, here, you want something to eat? Unless he's got a camera and he's going to post it to Instagram and the kid goes, oh, yeah, oh, that's a fake piece of bread, Dad. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't give us a stone. He gives us bread. He gives us what we need. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. That peace that passes understanding. We've talked about that many times before. Peace that passes understanding. That how can you be at peace with everything that's going on in your life? How can you minister to me with everything that's going on in your life right now? I got a peace that passes understanding. I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is I'm supposed to be here for you, to minister to you and to love on you. I should be baptizing you, yet you come to me. Lean not on our own understanding. And that just leans into the idea that we have the mind of Christ. That in all your ways acknowledge Him. Whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we do, we're going to go through it together. We acknowledge Him. Just say, Lord. And it was, I want to say it was, it's been a long time since I've looked at anything from Celtic. But they had a prayer for everything. You know, just, God, thank you so much for. I mean, think about anything. And they had praising God and thanking Him for that. I'll just leave it there, Sue. Mm-hmm. Just leave it there. Finally, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. After all of the bloodshed of World War I, people finally looked around and said, what are we doing? What are we doing here? We've heard about the Christmas, you know, singing Silent Night, where they came together. And there were many ceasefires. And we hear stories about there were ceasefires so that the combatants could go out there and retrieve their dead or their wounded. But I can't even imagine just what it was like in that place with all of these trenches and just the trenches and the stenches that filled that place. And people finally came to their senses and said, what are we doing? This is a stalemate. Let's agree to stop fighting. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Peacemakers, again and again, the Lord drills this into me, and I say it every time I read that verse and use it. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peace does not happen on its own. It requires work, sweat equity. We have to make the effort. Ask, seek, and knock. We have to actually speak it. We actually have to get up and walk around and look for it. And then we have to come to that door and start knocking. It's physical. It requires us to do something. Peacemaking is a verb.
That's right.
Love is a verb. Worship is a verb. Church is a verb. It's about doing. So, Father, as we come, and many people planning to have the traditional American barbecue and cookout and just enjoying the day and thanking those who served. There are those around the globe whose countries were a part of that great war, who still observe the Armistice Day at a time when people decided they just chose to lay down their arms. And Lord, there's that spiritual application for us here today and always, every day, to lay down our arms, to cease fighting, to not wage war as the world does. But to grow and to mature, to become more like you. Father, you work on us. You work on each one of us, and you do not give up. Right. There is no place we can hide from you. There is no corner, no closet, no crawl space, no attic. There is no place that we can hide from you. We can go up to the heavens, but you're right there. We can go down to the depths in the grave, but you are there. We can go to the ends of the earth, but you are there, and your hand will find us and bring us back. You leave the 99 and go after the one. So, Lord, help us become this people who don't surrender some, who don't surrender just a little bit, but help us to become kind of like John on the island of Patmos, like Peter, like so many that we may read about in history, those who surrendered and who probably knew in their hearts they could have surrendered even more. We don't see the great men and women of God. Help us to see the great God of men and women. Help us to see you. Mm-hmm. And to see you more and more in each other. Mm-hmm. The A-team had gotten together. I'm just going to share this real quick. They'd gotten together a few weeks back. And we were talking about spending time with God and what we do and that sort of thing. And what does it look like? Sue asked the question, what does that look like? Spending time and just quieting yourself and spending time with Jesus. And Tammy had shared that with you, what she does. And Tammy can tell you what it is. I can only tell you what it looks like. Because I see Tammy in those mornings that we're together, the mornings that I either stay home from work or on the weekends when we're home together, I see her come into the living room. She sits down with her coffee. She's got her Bible on the device and her devotional. And she spends 5, 10, 20. She reads through. She takes notes. She reads her few Bible passages, takes notes. I see her close her eyes and she just centers. She's a disciple. She really is. And so, maybe for us, for each of us, we just find that place of spending time. We don't have to go right out there and say, I'm going to spend an hour reading the Bible. I'm just going to spend an hour today. Tammy just takes that time. And I know you do it throughout the day too. You have to. Otherwise, I would be visiting you and Angela would be ministering to you in prison because the people you deal with and the husbands you have. So, anyway, if we just spend some time centering, thinking. So, anyway, so y'all have a great rest of your Sunday. Okay.
You too.
I will.
You too.
I will. Yes. We're going to get something to manja, and then we're going to go, and I'm going to take a nap.
Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Oh, thank you.